Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mental Toughness and Body Show. Today, we're going to talk about success in happiness, connection, and creating authentic relationships. Now, some people get so caught up in the day-to-day running of their busy lives that happiness and nurturing our relationships can tend to take a bit of a back seat. So our guest today is going to show you how focus on enhancing your well-being through strategies to build your authentic relationships and grow your happiness. So on this podcast, we've interviewed people from all walks of life, from your A-list celebrities to billionaires to Olympic gold medalists. And today we have coach, author, speaker, Linda Duong. Linda, welcome to the show. How are you going today?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. So Linda, just so because there'll be a bunch of people out there that don't know who you are. So maybe just spend maybe about a minute just telling us a little bit about who you are and why you focus your work in this particular space.
Yeah, sure. I think people know my story as the girl who has achieved every single dream she has so far. Very humbly. I was born at the end of the Vietnam War, so I didn't have anything, not even color pencils. I didn't even know what a computer looked like before I came to Sydney, Australia at the age of 15. I did not know a word of English. But amazingly, through lots of hard work, through amazing hard work, I have been able to achieve all of my early childhood dreams and adult dreams. And that includes traveled the world. I've been to Alaska 25 years ago, opened my own bridal boutique, being a wedding dress designer, being an early childhood teacher, and exhibit my artwork because I didn't have color pencils when I was little. And so then become a coach is an adult dream, and publish the book is an adult dream. But I didn't publish the book because I want to publish a book. I just want to take a moment to share that. I wrote a book for my own children to begin with. But because of two children who took their own life due to cyberbullying, that saddened me so much that I felt compelled to share. And I don't know these children. It's only me hearing on the news, and it was enough to make me feel compelled to share it. And with that, the whole journey continued with launching Three Hearts, which impacted countless of lives and now coachable, and the journey continues.
Yeah, lovely. So tell me about the coaching. You have obviously a specific niche where you do your coaching. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my niche is interesting in a way that I can actually cover a whole range of people, and it has been. My niche is about self-leadership. What it means is that I would help you, not about the system or self. I can talk about that, but it's about you that I focus on. So it's the leader or the student or the parent or the teacher, whoever come to me with whatever their concern is, we work on that and we move forward. And that's the special need. So I began as a parenting coach for gifted education, parenting your gifted child for the, you know, clever kids. And then very quickly, it extends to business strategy because I had business before. I run a bridal shop for parents who have business. It was just very natural. And then very soon, as soon as I published the book, it extended to change makers. And now that we're coachable, a startup, I now coach executive as well. So my journey continues to expand, but it's always about you. My youngest student that I have worked with was 3 and 5 years old. They were afraid to get into an ice skating ring. In a matter of 5 minutes, we play games. I got them in. Months later, they train, they compete. Now they're in Sweden, skating every winter in the city. They don't walk, they skate. And so with executives, I help them with, you know, fine-tuning their strategies to have the teams more intact so that everyone's not, you know, distracted with their own goals, but like more a vision, focus of the whole company. So I hope that explains that.
Yeah, okay, nice. So let's drill into a little bit around that, the happiness and so forth. Do you think that as we strive as business owners and just success in our life, a lot of things can tend to take a back seat, and we get so caught up in the day-to-day just busyness of meeting after meeting, and whether it's like your business commitments or even if you're working in a large corporate or a small corporate, small business, whatever, There are just a lot of commitments. And then we get out of work and then we go to home. And whether you've got children, partners, all that kind of stuff, it's just like go, go, go the whole time.
Yes.
And so I think to some extent in this day and age, we don't really think about happiness or becoming successful in happiness. But so many people will say, oh, you know, what is your goal in life? I just want to be happy. I was like, okay, so what makes you happy? So do you think there is a trade-off between success and happiness? Can you achieve both?
Can you achieve both? That's a big question. That's a great question. I believe you can. I'm striving to do that, right? For example, I haven't seen friends for a little while and they say, Linda, you still look the same. You haven't aged. And I giggle. I giggle everywhere I go. It doesn't matter how serious a meeting is. This is just me, right? Linda loves giggling. So I guess that's my one way of saying, yes, you can. But there's always a but in life, isn't it? But it goes back to your core value. I have so many friends strive and focus on business and success and money and all of those that their health taken a backseat and their happiness taken a backseat. So it seems like the society that we brought up with, it seems like we kind of like have separated happiness and the goal, the financial, the success. You know, it does somehow it doesn't match up together. There seems to be this separation. And I really would like to help everyone to mesh it together. And to answer your question, I think so, yes. I'm on that journey and I hope I have illustrated that you can. I am turning 54 in 2 months' time and I'm still giggling like a child. And, you know, a lot of people have certain expectations, certain images that sets it like our rule that we go by. And so therefore, sometimes it limits us. For example, business has to be serious. Yes, it has to be serious in terms of your intention, in terms of your work, in terms of your work ethic and everything. But who's to say you can't smile when you do a business deal, right? Who's to say that it has to be all serious and heavy energy and that you can't be happy? You know, I think that that's where we need to shift. So I'm on a journey where I really try to remind everyone to smile more, be happy, relax, even you have the serious meeting. I was talking to a multi-millionaire last night, right? And I was giggling the whole way through. And that's not to be funny, because the thing he said was funny. And, you know, I sometimes people think that it's a serious meeting. So I've got to be stern, you know, I've got to keep it straight. I don't. Because we spend so many hours at work. We spend more time at work than at home. Why don't we make that a happy place for ourselves, you know?
Yeah, sure. I think also there's an aspect of you don't have to like laugh and giggle and smile to be happy as well. I mean, obviously that's because people can fake that.
Yes. That's a big point. We talk about authenticity here, right? So I'll let you finish first. I don't mean to be fake. I don't mean to just giggle and laugh.
I'm not suggesting you are. I'm just, in the world that we live in today with social media and stuff, there's so much lack of authenticity around.
Yes.
But so I used to work in large corporates. I started my career as a chartered accountant, did that for 19 years, working in some big brands here in Australia. But it wasn't fulfilling me. And even though I would say, I was kind of happy in the moments and so forth, it wasn't really fulfilling me. Mm. And so you try and then find that happiness outside of the workplace hours in relationships, children, hobbies, et cetera.
That's right.
One of the things that I find now is, I mean, running my own business now for 14 years, like I'm happy every day. I work harder than I've ever worked before. I'm doing things, meeting people that I've never thought possible before. And there's a lot of happiness in that. And I do believe absolutely that you can achieve success and happiness, because to me, one of the things that drives me, I mean, I'm older than you, but success,
you don't look
for, it. Thank you. Success for me is about how do I keep getting the best out of myself? And there's happiness in that.
Yes.
Now I'm not laughing all day saying, yay, look at me. But it's like, it's that innate,
internal happy, joy, the true
that's
joy,
right, that happiness that I get from that. But let's move on to, because this next part might lead into the authenticity
Yes.
Same sort of question when it comes to relationships, because I think in order to be able to maintain those meaningful relationships, plus pursuing that professional success and so forth, sometimes, and your well-being, there can be trade-offs because, you know, you can have everything, but maybe not have it all at the same time. And I think what we see a lot of in, if you follow like highly, like the most successful people, whether it's in business, wealth creation, whatever in the world, even in sports, you see that at some point in their relationships tend to suffer, whether it's their personal relationships, other relationships and stuff, because they haven't been able to perhaps master the whole thing. So perhaps what's your view on being able to, again, achieve that? And what are some, perhaps some tips that you've got to help us be able to achieve authentic relationships, but also achieve what it is that we want to, but make sure those relationships are meaningful?
I think one of the fundamental thing that we need to do is slow down. Truthfully, right? Our lives are getting way too busy. We're getting way so busy that we don't even have time to understand our feelings, you know, to have a moment to know how we feel. And so then therefore it's hard to translate that to your partners or spouse or to relate to them. You know, like we go, like you said, you know, at work you go, and then you come home, there's other chores, there's kids, there's other things, you know, there's all of those. I think the main thing, very, very basic fundamental thing is to make time to really be with ourselves. When we have time for ourselves to collate our own emotions, to regulate our own emotions, for example, you have a hard day at work, it's all stressful, you come home, you get all grumpy, and then that energy passes to all the family around. And so
If I just jump in there. So on that point, because a lot of people talk about that, you know, like, oh, you need to have work-life balance and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So on that particular point, what's your recommendation for a strategy for like people come home and they should just take out that time for themselves immediately or as soon as possible to be able to, you know, like download whatever?
Go and walk around the block one round at least before you come home. If you have a really, really bad day, a really heavy day, don't come through the door straight away. Go walk around the block. Go walk around the block at least one round, even just 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute. Just adjust yourself. So adjust yourself before you enter the door.
My perception of most of my clients, it's about 60% of my clients are women. So I see this a lot because I work in the health and wellness space. Most women do not prioritize themselves very well at all. So they put their kids, their partners ahead of themselves, their career, all that kind of stuff, ahead of looking after their own health and well-being, and taking that time out is a really important one. What's your read on that? Because I'm always saying to them, you have to put yourself first. Because men are really selfish. I can say that because I am one. But generally speaking, men are more selfish. They say, well, I'm going to the gym or I need to do this. And bang, they just say, I'm just doing it. What they're not saying is, I really don't care about you. Yeah. I'm doing this. You sort the rest out. But most women will not do that.
I know. I'm a woman myself, right? But luckily, I have trained myself to be really disciplined that once I've done cook my dinner, right? Luckily, the kids are older now. Once I cook my dinner, you guys are looked after, I'm out. I'm out of the house. I go for the walk. Now, if you are in situations where you can't get out of the house, do journaling. When you wake up early or you stayed up late before you go to bed, do journaling. Write it. Just don't think too much. Just brain dumping kind of.
And what do you think that does?
What it does is that it gives us a chance to download our mind, download all the heaviness, and then it actually elevates the emotions as well. What we want is mind clarity, to declutter our mind and to lighten up our heart. That's two things most important, especially if you're a mom. If you're a mom and you have clouded head, you get really frustrated with the kids, and the kids will feel your energy, right? If you have a heavy heart, the kids will feel it, and the husband will feel it, and everybody will feel it, right? Any leader, right? Even if you're a dad, it's the same. Whatever we feel, it doesn't just stay with us. Whether you're happy, unhappy, grumpy, frustrated, your energy expands to other people. And so then therefore, if you are a mom and you feel that it's hard to take care of yourself, at least think about it for the kids. if you do this, it'll be better for the kids. Then that will give you the motivation to do it.
Yeah, nice. Yes. So I interrupted before, but we were starting to talk about authentic relationships. So with, maybe I'll rephrase the question now. So with the, like the busyness and the, I suppose what I'm seeing is people connecting physically with people, as in like catching up. Like back when I was growing up, like there was obviously no internet or anything like that. So families would invite each other around. They'd make a casserole and they'd invite a couple of families around and share a casserole,
kids
be together, all that kind of stuff. We tend not to do that anymore. We might go out to a cafe or whatever, but people are maybe just sending a text message or they're sending a message on Facebook or that kind of stuff, and they're catching up less. And so I guess those strong, authentic relationships are drifting away. So perhaps maybe what have you got as some tips to help build those authentic, meaningful relationships, not just with your, say, your intimate partner, but say your business, colleagues, friends, et cetera?
I think the main thing is finding common points. Say, for example, right, when we have friends over, we would always find games for everybody to play. And that that gets everyone's engaging instead of being on their phone. Gets everyone to engage, and then they start talking to each other. And if you are outside, it's the same thing. It's being more intentional to find topics that everyone can relate. Otherwise, it's very easy that everyone just pick up the phone, right? And if you're in a business setting, if you have a business meeting, I tend to not just focus on my agenda only. The first thing I always ask is about their day, how they are going. We all need to be heard. We all go about too fast, too busy, and no one knows how each other feels anymore these days. So the very first thing is, how's your day? What's going on? If you show interest in your counterpart, whether it's business partner, friends, or whoever, neighbors, right? The minute you show interest, that's engagement. And when you have engagement, then they don't need to look for engagement on social media. The reason why we go on social media is we're looking for another kind of connection, another kind of engagement. And so the whole key is get each other engaged to be present with each other.
Yes.
So if I go out with little kids, even little kids, I will bring color pencils, papers, draw with them, talk with them, and not just give it to them and that's it. I literally play with the kids and talk with the kids. And if I'm with the business, you know, partners, whatever, whoever we talk with, it's always about what's on their mind. If you could get what's on their mind, then you have true connection.
Yes. Yeah, great point. I don't think we have enough of being present with whoever it is that we're with. But I see it a lot in relationships too. I was out somewhere the other day. I can't remember where I was. I was waiting for somebody. I was at a restaurant. I was up in Sydney, actually.
Oh, and you were here.
yeah, just last weekend, actually, and at a conference. And I was sitting there and I was just observing what couples were doing on other tables. And it was at the airport, and not one group of people were interacting.
Wow.
They were looking at their phones. They were sitting next to each other, but they were looking at their own individual phones and doing that kind of stuff. They just weren't connecting. A couple more questions for you. What would you say is perhaps a belief that you once held strongly that you've now changed your mind?
What's the one belief that I held strongly that changed my mind? That's a good one. I haven't have many of changed mind, but I do know that one thing that has stayed in my mind a lot is that when we think that things has to be a certain way, we kind of form a framework that we need to abide by. So I no longer think that things has to be a certain way. Say, for example, business has to be serious, for example, just an example, right? If you have that belief, then it will frame your mindset to always be like that, and you can't be flexible about it. And when someone behaves differently, you'll be so uncomfortable. You'll be agitated. You can't accept it. So what has changed my mind is that things doesn't always have to be that way. There's many ways to get to Rome, so-called. So be flexible is my message.
That's be a flexible. Tough one. That's a tough one though, isn't it? Because we're so shaped by our values of and beliefs, which up to this point have been shaped by our parents and our environment and daily interactions and so forth. So it requires an awareness to say, okay, well, maybe, and I guess it's also about being coachable, as I can see the word in the background there. Not everybody is coachable. And if you think you are always right, and if you think you have all the answers, then you're wrong.
Yes. That's where we fall in the trap, right? Especially when we are very intelligent people. We think that I already know that. Oh, I already know that. And so then therefore, by having that mindset, it prevents us from learning more, because the society is forever changing. Life is forever expanding, right? When we think that, nah, I believe it's this view, this is my view, and that's it, and you block everything else out, you lose out.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm always under the belief that I know this much, but I'm still willing to listen. There's always something else, right? It's like I know how to get through into a house from the front door, but I wouldn't mind listening out to see how I can get in the side door, the side window, the top of the roof in case there's a fire.
That's
so
right.
Staying open. So staying open is the main thing, main key, and also being flexible.
Yeah.
Instead of keep following a framework rigidly and like a Bible kind of thing. Yeah.
So now for a moment, let's just say you've got some magic powers and you could master any skill.
Yes.
What skill would you pick and why?
Wow, that's a big one. If I have the magic one, let's say, and I can master a skill, I would love to be able to speak to people's minds directly. On a mass scale, speak to everybody.
As in like speak to everybody at once?
At once and get my message
creepy.
Into their mind. Yeah.
That's creepy. I don't want you message, in my head like that.
The message I want to speak to is three hearts, okay? Just embrace three hearts. Heart number one stands for love and connection for ourselves. Heart number two is love and connection for each other. And heart number three is love and connection for the universe. Even if you're in business world, you need the three hearts. Because if you love yourself more as a leader, you have more love and compassion for your colleagues, for your staff, for your family, then that can extend to the universe, environmental, animal, whatever that you care about, right? But more so, the reason why I want to be able to speak to everybody at once is because the message, the underlining message of three hearts really gives you the power to world peace. Let me explain how and why. When we have love and connection for ourselves, we are more comfortable with our skin, so-called, so to speak. And when you're more comfortable with yourself, when you're more accepting of yourself, you accept others easier, better. You have more room and love and compassion for others when you have it for yourself. With that, minimize conflicts, differences, bias, racism. That alone can already give us a lot of peace. Now I tell you, even if we stop all the wars outside, there's still a war in the head, a war in the heart, a war in the family, a war in the neighborhood. Isn't it true?
Mm.
That's why I want to be able to speak to everybody right through the heart, to their mind with three hearts message. That is how we access world peace, especially if you're a big leader. If you're a big leader and you can live and lead with love and compassion, there's no war. You cannot have wars in the world. So that would be my super message, superpower, if I may, if I could have that.
No.
Thank you for asking that.
Just a couple more questions. What would you say, let's talk about coaching. What would you say is a common misconception about the industry you're in, coaching, and how would you like to debunk that misconception?
The misconception is that if you create an online course, you have passive income. And yes, you do. And online course is good for everybody. It's not so good for everybody. So let me explain that a little bit. Online course is very convenient when we cannot attend live. When you have a teacher in Washington, D.C. and a student in Sydney, that's beautiful, right? But sometimes online course actually does its disservice. I don't know if you have, but I have. There are many times I thought, oh, I need that course. I bought it, but I never used it.
Did it.
Yes, that's one myth. Okay. The other myth about create an online course and you have passive income. Well, before you do that, you have to design the curriculum. You have to do the video. The video editing is not that easy because when you're teaching, it's different than us talking casually, right? You have to find a platform that hosts it. And then you still have to be able to drive the traffic, do online digital marketing before the passive income comes, right? So that is just half true is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And the online course, it serves its purpose, but not entirely true that it's good for everybody.
Yeah, right. Got you.
That's why I create Coachable. Coachable is for coaches to show up to actually coach you live like this virtually.
Mm-hmm. Yep, nice work. So I've got one more question, but because I'm going to give you the last word in a second. If people want to grab a copy of your book, which I can see over your right shoulder there, or left of screen as you're looking at this, and people want to get in touch with you, I'll put the links below here, but maybe if you just mention it now.
Sure. If you like to get the book, it's on Amazon in all 13 countries. If you like to get a free chapter, the introductory chapter of the book, life has changed from that as well. You go to lindaduong.com.au and you can get a free introductory chapter. To get in touch with me, you can email linda@lindaduong.com.au.
Nice.
linda@lindaduong.com.au or reach out on social media. I'm on Facebook, on LinkedIn.
Terrific. Thanks, Linda. So I want to give you the closing word. Maybe if you could tell, if you've got one piece of advice you'd like to give the audience right now, what is it that you would like to tell them?
I like to remind everybody to never, ever underestimate the power in you. If I could share a photo next time when we talk, the photo, you will see this girl, little girl at the end of the Vietnam War. I didn't have anything, not even color pencils. But now, humbly, with my book, with Three Hearts, with everything else I've done, it has impacted countless of lives. And so I just want to encourage everyone, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever wish and goals that you have, just go and do it. And even if you are just a student, don't think that you don't have the power to make change. You can help a teacher become a better teacher. So never, ever underestimate the power in you.
Great advice. Thanks so much, Linda, for today, everybody. Please go and reach out to Linda. Please tell her how much you enjoyed this podcast. Grab a copy of her book and connect with her on social media. Thanks so much for today, Linda. And
thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye for now.